This episode is brought to you by Tock, the only unified platform for reservations, takeout, and event management. Switch to Tock today to increase your revenue and reach 19 million loyal and engaged guests around the country.
HRN has a brand new look, but we're sharing the same delicious stories. Invest in the future of food radio by becoming a monthly sustaining member at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Our show aims to assist new entrepreneurs find their way through the process of getting their hospitality business off the ground, hopefully with flying colors. One of those we haven't delved deeply into is coffee shops. New York City alone has just under 4,000 coffee shops and has been growing steadily over the last several years. And a fun fact, according to Wall Street Journal, only 129 closed during the pandemic.
Pretty good odds considering. So today we are joined by our friend, neighbor, and new business owner, Saul of Round K by Saul. While Saul is not new to coffee, he is newly in business with his first coffee shop in New York's Chinatown / Lower East Side border. And in true entrepreneur fashion, Saul is wearing a million hats today. So he just informed us that his scheduling conflict and he may have to hop off in case customers pop in since he's manning the show by himself. So just in case you guys hear an interruption, you'll know what's happening. We have all been there. So welcome to the show, okay. Saul. We're so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you. And then I'm really sorry about that.
Don't be sorry. We know how it goes. Yeah. I hang up on conference calls all the time when customers walk into the showroom. It's very real.
Small business ownership.
It happens to us all.
I totally forgot that I need to go to a hospital tomorrow for my wife's checkup. And then I didn't give a schedule for like to other staffs for that. And then I asked somebody to work tomorrow instead of today. So yeah, that's why I'm working alone right now.
That's how it goes. You're forgiven because I think you're what, 1 week in or 2 weeks in now?
Oh yeah, it's been just a week.
1 week.
1 week. Okay. Congratulations. Yeah, 1 week. Happy thank 1 week you, birthday.
You. Tell us the concept behind your coffee shop and what makes Round K unique.
Oh, the Round K started like 6-7 years ago and 99 Allen Street, Lower East Side. By that time, I wasn't the owner. Like, I was the manager of the cafe. And I had learned a lot of things from my ex-owner, and he has a lot of skills, and then he studied in Italy, like culinary school, and he can roast, he can cook, and yeah, basically he's also kind of doing one man show at that time, and in behind of the bar. And I was a customer by that time. And then I kind of really interested getting to that kind of position, you know, like getting the customer really like friendly and then like giving them what they want and then make them happy. Like that's kind of the concept that our coffee shop. Like, you know, in New York, most of the people kind of get stressed a lot from their work and other things. And we want to make a space that people in our neighborhood can like hang out and like talk, communicate with the people, like socializing, and like they can come anytime and then like spending time with us, like talk with us, like making as a playground for the people, friends. Yeah, that was our concept at the very beginning. So we have a lot of friends, not the customers. So they keep supporting us, like while during pandemic, while I'm doing the pop-up shop on 45 Orchard Street. Yeah, so yeah.
So tell us, so it sounds like, yeah, so your goal is to create a community for not just customers, but for customers to become friends and have a place to hang out and enjoy all of your awesome creations, yeah. which is definitely felt when you come to your space. And so you've had sort of an interesting journey because you took the space over because you had Allen Street and then you guys did the pop-up during the pandemic. So tell us a little bit about that and then how you found your space that you're currently in.
Oh, actually, during pandemic, our contract on 99 Allen Street was finished. So the ex-owner wanted to extend it, but of course, this pandemic situation, we want to negotiate the rent, but the landlord didn't want to lower the price. So we cannot keep the space. So for 5-6 months, I didn't work at all. I just stayed at home, be safe with spending time with my family. And one day, the reception bar, they kind of reached out us and then wanted to do some small pop-up together. So, spending time for 6 months in a house is a kind of a stress. So, and also I miss my friend in Lower East Side. So I thought that is a good opportunity to meet up people. By that time, the pandemic situation is getting a little better and better. So
when you did the pop-up at reception, was the plan always to open your own coffee shop afterwards, or were you just doing the pop-up to stay busy and get back to your neighborhood for the interim?
Yeah, that's true. I was preparing opening my own cafe. So the location, 45 Orchard Street, is not that far from this location. So I kind of, it's good opportunity to meet more people in there and then let them know our coffee and food. And then once I open my own space, then they could come back to my space. I think that would be awesome. So I think that's one of the strategy or before opening my own space. And also I met a lot of good people in that location, and then I can see that they coming back to our 78 Canal Street location. So now I'm meeting a lot of people now. And people have been waiting, so they really say thank you to me to open the cafe, which I really appreciate that. Yeah.
That's amazing. When did you take the rent and tell us about how you found the space where you are now on Canal Street?
Actually, the location, the owner of this building was also our friend, one of the friends of our old location.
The one on Allen Street or the one on Orchard?
Yeah, the one on Allen Street. They wanted us to open a coffee shop even before pandemic in their building. But by that time, we were happy with that location. So we didn't planning to do it, but things are happening. And then they kind of proposed to us really good rent and everything. And yeah, that's why we settled down this space. And then, yeah.
So tell us, it's really helpful for our listeners to hear that, because a lot of times there's a good landlord is hard to come by, we say, and a lot of the lessons learned from this show is that landlord is often your business partner in a way, because hospitality businesses are so tied to the space. So tell us a little bit about what kind of deal you were able to get, and did they help you with build out and how all that went down?
I get the contract last November, and wow. I finished my construction, of course, a week, 2 weeks ago, which is more than 6 months, half a year. Wow. They have been waiting me to open, and they didn't ask me to collect the money. They just keep patient and wait, and yeah, I really appreciate that. They've never forced me to saying, oh, you need to pay the rent or, yeah. They, even though on the contract, they said that they will give two months free rent, but actually they give me more than 6 months free rent. And then, I didn't expect it this take this long, but they understand the situation because of the pandemic. And I'm not sure you know, but most of the material, especially like plywood, the price of it goes like double or triple.
Mm-hmm. It's
like, so I need to pay a lot of things.
How do you change your plan based on plywood doubling? Do you use less wood? Do you find other materials that are, you know, that haven't gone up because of supply chain? Or
I haven't changed anything, but like,
you just spend more money.
Yeah, I just spend more money.
Yeah,
because everything is already like set up, you know, like the design, and the people are already starting working. And then by that time, if I change the plan, then I need to like wait more than like, I don't know how many months I need to wait more. So I cannot change things by that time, to be honestly.
Right. What do you feel like slowed you down? You said you expected it to be 2 or 3 months of build out. What do you feel like made it take 6 months? Was it just the supply chain of getting the materials, or was there other factors?
Oh, actually one incident happened. I, to save money, I wanted to design, like interior design, hire an interior design, like some really good person. But if I use the contractor, which she are like connected with, they're more expensive than usual. So I cannot like pay those amounts. So I found out another one to do extra job. Another contractor, I mean.
So you had to switch contractors in the middle of the project,
yeah,
basically?
Yeah. So I almost hired one contractor, and they said they are going to do the job, but all of a sudden they changed their mind, and they kind of made an excuse that the pandemic situation is going worse, so they don't want to come down to Manhattan. So they said they cannot do work. So I need to find out another contractors. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, I've been waiting that like a month. And then I spent another month for finding another one, the new one. So I spent time like that. Luckily, also I found the contractor who is my friend from Round K, and I didn't know he does those kind of job. Actually, he's David who is doing the Hester Street Fair.
Okay.
Yeah. So while I'm doing the pop-up, he just passing by, and then I kind of, once we have a chat, and I said to him I'm looking for a contractor, and then he said, I'm the contractor. So, seriously? And you're doing this job too? And we kind of talk, and then, yeah, everything was really nice with him. And his staff is nice. And then the price and everything was really nice too. So, to be honestly, that's why I could make this cafe. And then also I can like doing this everything right now.
Right. So speaking about design, so the your coffee shop has sort of a hidden back room. Tell us a little bit about your decision to have a speakeasy and how that's going and how you're anticipating your liquor license coming through.
Oh. First of all, I get this concept because of our original location that I'm not sure you've been there, but it's really narrow and long.
Right.
So the old location also has some sort of a speakeasy vibe. It's not really different concept, the front and behind, but there was a curtain. So people didn't know that there is a back room or like sitting area behind the curtain. And I kind of realized that people really like it. Like people, when people see things, oh, this is a coffee shop, just a little coffee shop with a bar and stools, that's it. But once they find it out that there's a more sitting in the behind of it, they really like it and enjoy the space. Not only just a coffee, also space itself. So I really want to do those kind of things too. But that our 78 canal, the new location, it's also really narrow and long. So I think that's the thing I need to do. And then this time, I'm thinking that this time I wanted to make it really seriously, so that like I switched the curtain to like sliding door, so that people can really see that it's a different space. And then I made the front part, the bar, is really bright and white, and the bedroom is really dark and like black or dark green color. So it's been just a week, I could find out that people really like it. Like, and then also the reason why I designed the bedroom like this is I want to more concentrate on the speakeasy concept. So we are getting liquor license. Actually, yesterday was our community board meeting, and a lot of people kind of support the petition, and we got good result. So we are getting beer and wine liquor license soon, maybe in 3-4
congrats.
Months. Thank Woo-hoo. You so much.
That's awesome.
Good. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So how will that change like your operating hours, and will you have to like staff it differently? Like what will you do to sort of flip it over from a coffee shop to this like cozy nook to have drinks as well?
Right now we open at 7:30 and close at 7:00. But once we get the license, then we got to close the coffee shop at 4:00. And then having a like switching time for 1 hour, and we open at 5 or 5:30, so that we can like create a different vibe. So I put the light system, like especially back room, I can dim down the light, so that make it more dark. And then I can put some candles.
Well, hold on. Why don't you go help your customers, and we'll hang out here for you.
We're excited to partner with Tock, the only unified platform for reservations, takeout, and event management. Tock is home to 7,000 restaurants, bars, wineries, and breweries, including Reverence, one of New York City's most exciting fine dining restaurants. Reverence is owned and operated by Chef Russell Jackson. His intimate chef's counter draws on his California roots, African-American expression, and Harlem storytelling. Chef Jackson has been with Tock since opening day to offer prepaid reservations at his chef's counter, in addition to beverage packages, extraordinary takeout during the pandemic, and special events. Chef Jackson says that he's proud to be on Tock's platform because it's, without a doubt, the smartest business decision he could have made. To learn more about how Tock powers reservations, events, and takeout, go to exploretock.com/join. That's exploretock.com/join.
All right, so we're back with Saul. And we were just talking about flipping the business into how it's going to be in the evening. So you were mentioning that you guys would close between 4 to 5 and then reopen.
Mm-hmm. So in the back, we changed we put the light system, like a dim, can be dimmed down. And then my wife making candle actually. So we are going to put some candles on it so that candles. It create a more warm and soft vibe. And luckily, my landlord allowed me to use the backyard, and even community board said I can use the backyard for serving, even though it's till 10 p.m.
Oh, that's great. That's yeah. Longer than we had talked before. I think you were planning on closing it really early just to keep your neighbors happy, but
that'll make a big
difference, I think, for your evening bar crowd.
Yeah, I don't want to make trouble with our neighbors or some tenant in my building. I don't want to create really like noise sound to them when they're having like relax.
Of course.
Yeah, so I'm trying to put some tent on so that even though it's a like some sound cannot go upper, like yeah, I think I need to spend more money for it, but yeah, I think I have to for having like better situation, better like environment. Yeah, so
always something to spend more money on. All right, yeah. We're excited for you to be able to get your liquor license. So that'll happen in about 2 to 3 months. You'll open in the evenings for drinks as well. Awesome. Well, we like to do a little lightning round on this show where we go through some quicker questions and answers. So Alex, you want to kick us off?
Sure. The first one, Saul, you do some pretty impressive latte art, which I think you can probably see on like one of the other Round K Instagram sites. Mm-hmm. And once you did a portrait of our dog.
It was very good.
Pretty spectacular.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
Do you have a favorite design that you like to create?
My favorite is like bear or cats. Because I like rosetta or hearts, like those kind of tulip, those kind of design. People likes it, but like I can get more reactions. It's from those like cute animal face. So, yeah, I prefer making those kind of latte art.
Do you draw it? What do?
I just make the like white part, like face part with steamed milk. And then the other part, I'm just draw it.
Oh, it's impressive.
Yeah.
How did you learn how to do that?
I learned it from all of them. Before I start working in Round K, I've never experienced in this field, like as a barista or as a in the hospitality field. I've never done it before, but I learned most of things from my ex-boss, like Okyun, the founder of Round K. So yeah, I talked about him a little bit, but he's really talented and yeah, like sometimes I feel like he's mad scientist. Yeah, like one of our signature drink, matte black latte, it's just purely black coffee. I mean, not black coffee in general. The color is just black, but tastes really nice. It's not just for the taking photo or for Instagram. People really just want to drink it and coming back for that drink. So
right.
It's not just a coloring, it's also like a good drink for make them wake up. I learned most of those kind of skills and things from him.
Awesome. So tell us about we always like to ask this question, what is your best selling drink?
Actually, the best selling drink is like iced coffee or iced latte.
Not the ube latte? I love the ube latte.
Thank you. Thank you so much. But
ube latte is a rich purple.
Yeah, those are our signature drinks. People coming because of that kind of drink. But they find out that our coffee is good, our food is good. They're coming back for something else too.
So what drink has the highest profit margin on it? Is it just a black coffee or is it?
Profit margin, I haven't really calculated that yet. So, but I think, to be honestly, like Matte Black Latte or Ube drink, I think because of the ingredient, it's not really high margin. Like, especially Matte Black Latte, all ingredient is like a vegetarian related things, like oat milk or almond butter. Like, we don't use any, like, anything like cow milk or something like that. So that's the ingredient is pretty high, the price. I mean, but that I think the margin wise, like, of course, the food is higher than coffee. And yeah, the regular drink coffee is also good thing for selling. And yeah.
Tell us the last one is, what was your best business resource? What helps you the most in getting the business open? Is it was there a book, a website, a person like your mentor from Round K, or was it, is there something else?
Oh, as I said, our friends who I've met in Round K, like even this space right now is I could create this because of my friend from Round K, and then I could do the pop-up because of like the people who support our brand. They're not just a customer, they're like more like a friend, and they keep bringing other people back here. So I really appreciate about that.
Cool. Well, sounds like you might have some more customers coming in.
No. His
no?
Friend.
Okay. Okay,
his
good.
Friend. He's normally like, they kind of understand the situation. They are and wait.
We'll let you wrap up, and we know where we can find you, but tell all our listeners where they can find you on Instagram, Saul.
Oh, yeah. There's a... our store located in 78 Canal Street, New York, Manhattan. And we have an Instagram. It's a Round K _ by _ Sol, S-O-L. So, yeah, you can find us from those. We are creating more things on Europe, and we are trying to deliver our coffee and food in other platform, but we are not yet prepared. So please
cool.
Stay tuned.
Well, congratulations. I'm looking forward to trying the bagel with cod roe cream cheese, which is a unique one, but I'll be back for that for sure. And congratulations again on getting open. And we look forward to hearing about your liquor license and your bar transition in the evenings. If you want to follow us, it's at We Are Opening Soon and at Tiller NYC. The door is shut. Thank you, Saul.
Thanks, Saul.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alex and Jenny.
Opening Soon is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, and connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You could also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place, and we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.